Good morning, church. Let's stand and sing to our God. The Lord reigns. He is a mighty God. The Lord God reigns. The Lord reigns. He is a mighty God. The Lord God reigns. Great is the Lord Almighty. He is Lord. He is God indeed. Great is the Lord Almighty. He is God supreme. Great is the Lord Almighty. He is Lord. He is God indeed. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. The Lord reigns. He is a mighty God. The Lord God reigns. The Lord reigns. He is a mighty God. The Lord God reigns. Great is the Lord Almighty. He is Lord. He is God indeed. Great is the Lord Almighty. He is God supreme. Great is the Lord Almighty. He is Lord. He is God indeed. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord Almighty. He is Lord. He is God indeed. Great is the Lord Almighty. He is God supreme. Great is the Lord Almighty. He is Lord. He is God indeed. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Amen. Please be seated. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us this building, this place that is not ours but yours. Thank you for letting us rent this space that is your kingdom, Lord. Let us encourage each other in this hour of worship. Let us encourage, let us be encouraged by your spirit, Lord. Let the songs be sung, be uplifting to you and to each other. Let us be encouraging to each other, and let us love one another. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So big announcement, right? If y'all remember, next week is our unity service here at this building. It'll be us, Kanawha City Church of Christ, as well as Kanawha Valley Church. And so what that means is how y'all are kind of spread out right now, you're going to want to have to bunch next time. I think we're going to have to fill the pews, maybe actually put in some extra chairs. Chris, we need to think about that. Maybe, yeah. All right, got it. All right, we're good. And so next week, get ready for unity service. I expect over 100, 120 people probably. So it's going to be a good time. And then the next, also next Sunday, but following and later on in the day at 4 p.m., is the Family Fall Festival Fun Day. Used to be called the Chili Cook-Off, but it's now just a more of a Family Fall Festival Fun Day, to where there will be a chili cook-off. There will be a lot of games for the kids. And we're just going to hang out, bring a chair, one of those chairs you can have on the lawn, and we're just going to enjoy each other as we fellowship with new friends. Did I forget anything? Chris is going to cover if I forgot anything later on. And now let's stand up and meet each other, greet each other, please. This is a season for a new anointing. This is a season for a fresh outpouring, that the sons and daughters of the King of Glory may arise and shine. That the sons and daughters of the King of Glory may arise and shine as we declare. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. In the beginning God created, and for His pleasure all creation sings. Every son and daughter of the King of Glory, now arise and shine. Every son and daughter of the King of Glory, now arise and shine as we declare. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let your glory fill the earth. Let your glory fill the earth. Let your glory fill the earth.
Let your glory fill the earth as we declare, this is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. King of glory, fill the earth. 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 As we declare, this is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made.
If you knew, I cut off a chorus because that one went way too long, in my opinion.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Humbling your heart to God, saves from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims draw, Christians awake. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies. Going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Love of so many cold, losing their home of gold. Listen, God's word is told, evils abound. When these signs come to pass, nearing the end at last, it will come very fast, trumpets will sound. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies. Going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Troubles will soon be o'er, happy forevermore. When we meet on that shore, free from all care. Rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye. Homeward we then will fly, glory to share. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies. Going where no one dies, heavenward bound.
All right, kiddos, it's that time to go worship in your own designated area. Not you, Wesley. All right, we've been sitting a little too long. Let's stand and sing one song before Terry comes up and blesses us with a sermon. So please stand.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Amen. Please be seated.
Oh, good morning. Psalms 139:14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Today we're going to talk about basically the human body. What miracles does this vessel that we're in have to teach us about God and, you know, Jesus? A lot of scriptures I'm going to be going through here, and a lot of scientific stuff I'm going to tell you. If something that I doesn't set right with you, or you don't understand afterwards, come up. I'll try to explain as best I can. Do I know everything about the human body? Obviously not. God has made a wonderful vessel to us that we're just now beginning to understand, just a very tip of the iceberg, so to speak. Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 27. Then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on this earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. So God created our bodies, these vessels that our soul resides in today. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 tells us, and the Lord God formed man of dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living breathing. Man was formed from dust. Today we know that we're composed of about 100 trillion cells. Every cell of our body gets rejuvenated about every 7 years, except for two types. One, our nerve cells, which we'll talk about a little later. The second one is our red blood cells. which get rejuvenated about every 120 days. Every other cell gets rejuvenated about every 7 years. Each cell has within it at least 10,000 chemical functions that we know of today, more than all the plants in all the world, as far as all the industrial ones and making plastics or whatever you want to pick. So just one single cell in our body has way more chemical functions than anything that we're aware of now. There's been 50 billion humans that have been born since Adam, about. Our bodies are composed of about 206 bones and 639 muscles. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27, Paul uses our body to actually describe how the church is put together as well. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in that fact the body is not one member, but many. And it goes on to talk about the many parts and how it is put together. We'll go with the first slide. Let's talk about the brain. Our brain, and this is up here in what's called a sagittal section, or as if we split it straight down through the middle, what it looks like. In 2 Timothy, verses 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So in our brains, there are about 100 billion neurons, about greater than 120 trillion, what's called synapses, or how the nerves communicate with each other, where they basically touch. Now that process is basic with acetylcholine, which is a chemical that we know that transmits nerve impulses and transmits information, but we also don't really understand how the electronical part of the brain occurs. And there's probably a huge amount of information that is transferred from one neuron to the other that we don't even know how that works at this particular time. A neuron impulse is about 300 miles per hour. If you took all the computer systems in the entire world, they do not equal to the amount of wiring in one human brain. If we go to the next slide, this is hot off the press. This was just done last week. Nature magazine, a very reputable scientific journal, came out with the map of the neurons in a fruit fly brain. They mapped all 140,000 neurons in a fruit fly brain. This is not all of those. This is only 50. And they did 140,000. That's a fruit fly brain. Job chapter 38. Verse 36, who has put wisdom in the mind, or who has given understanding to the heart? You know, God's given us this ability. The average number of processes that we are able to think in a day, this is just the average, is about 10,000 thoughts or concepts a day. Now, Shelley of Taipei, I don't even come near that. And, you know, ladies, you'll have to talk to your own husbands how many you think they get during one day. But that's the average, is around 10,000. So all human information that we know of, that we know of is in the human brain, conscious and unconscious, about the amount of information that's processed is about 10 to the 24th bits of information that we know of. If you take all the information in the entire world that we know in all the libraries, an exa is 10 to 18th, 18 zeros after that. That's one exa. There's 295 exas in all the information in all the world. Let's compare that to what happens in one neuron in the human body. Well, a zeta is 1 to the 21st zeros, which is 1,000 more than one exa. There's 295 exa in all the libraries. There's 26 zetas, which is all the information in the human body. Huge number, hard for me to comprehend the amount of information in one neuron in our body versus all the information in the entire world. And God made that. That's amazing. Yeah. Let's go to the next. The human eye. Very interesting. Charles Darwin, who came up with the theory of evolution, said that whenever he thought of the human eye, it made him sick to his stomach, made him ill. Because if you think about the human eye, the evolution of the human eye was something that just couldn't just happen. There's too many things that come together to make this work. You have the lens, you have the retina, and you have the optic nerve. All three of those would have to evolve at the exact same time in order to get an eye to function. He could not explain it through his theory of evolution. Just the eye itself debunks evolution as the primary process as far as why we're here on Earth. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made them both. So Proverbs tells us that God's the one that made the eye. He formed us in his own image. If we go to Psalms 66, verse 5. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing toward the sons of men. The things that God's made is miraculous, and to think that the eye can actually do what we recognize and all of us do every single day is see is amazing. The amount of light and energy necessary to activate the optic nerve and for us to see something is so small that if you take a pea and lift it 1 inch from the table, that amount of mechanical injury is all the amount of energy that's needed for an eye, for the retina to activate and you to actually be able to see anything. So it's very little energy for it to even to work. Now in scriptures we also find that the use of using the eye as an example, God has told us a couple things there. If we go to Psalm 94, verse 7 through 9, yet they say the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. Understand, you senseless among the people, and you fools, when you will be wise. He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He also, God tells us through Scripture, uses eye as a sort of a metaphor or figures of speech. And if we still stay in Psalms and go to chapter 17, verse 8. Keep me as the apple of your eye, hide me under the shadow of your wings. So we see, you know, the use of the word eye is used in multiple times in scriptures. Let's go to the next slide, please. The ear. Another amazing organ that we have that allows us to hear and to be able to interact with others. This is a model of the ear, the cochlea, which has 24,000 hair cells in it, allows us to actually transmit the mechanical sound waves, which hit the eardrum, passes through these three bones, which we'll talk about in a minute, work on the cochlea, and allow us to change those mechanical sound waves into electrical impulses so that what we hear is what we hear and we understand. Mark chapter 7, verses 32 through 37. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him inside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosened, and he spoke plainly. So here's somebody who was obviously deaf that Jesus actually healed. A sound wave, we are able to perceive 1 over 10 to the 16th zeros of a watt. So very little in order for us to actually be able to hear. In fact, if it was a little more sensitive, we actually would ever even be able to hear the molecules in the air hit against each other. So it's kind of an amazing apparatus. Another thing that's very interesting is these three bones right there. The hammer, the incus or the anvil, and the stapes. Those were all formed in utero when we were all born. When we were born, they are the same size that they are today in you. The day you die, they are exactly the same size. They do not change in size as you grow bigger, and they do not get smaller as you get bigger. They stay exactly the same from birth, which is kind of interesting. The scriptures speak to us of a couple uses of the word ear in the scriptures that we find that are kind of interesting to look at. If we go to John chapter 18, verses 10. Hopefully people remember what Peter did to Malchus, cut his ear off, you know. So we hear the word ear, you know, in this particular. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So we hear about the ear from this. There are several others that are used as figures of speech. And again, we go back to Psalms. And if we go to Psalms 86, verse 6, give ear, O Lord, to my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplications. And also, if we go to Psalm 17, verse 6, I have called upon you, for you will heal me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. So we see a couple of verses again from the ear, just as the eye have been used in scriptures throughout time. Well, we've talked about the eye, we've talked about the ear. The other thing that we need to talk about is the voice. Human voice can carry as far as about 200 yards away. But in proper circumstances, it can go as far as 6 miles. And if we go through history, about 500 BC, Cyrus of Persia actually built a network of towers where one soldier would yell to another soldier. It's probably the first form of actually communications over a distance. Even today in places like, I don't know anybody, I've never traveled to India, but I understand that in India they have a system from village to village that they're able to communicate basically by crawling up on top of the nearest hill and yelling to the next village. So the human voice carries for quite a ways. In the scriptures, if we look at voice, probably the most famous voice in the entire scriptures. And if you think about that for just a second, what that might be, we go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Actually hearing God's voice, can you even imagine that? I mean, that just to me so far above, you know, my pay grade, so to speak, here on earth that that I'm amazed, you know, that being able to hear that. The English language contains about 1 million words. The average human only knows about 50,000. So not very many that we use every day, but there's actually a million words in the English language. We speak about 4,800 on a daily basis. Unless you're my grandson, and that probably doubles or triples. newborns, interesting enough, and every mother knows this, the newborn actually can recognize her name out of a crowded room and know exactly mom speaking. That's just amazing. A newborn and has not heard 50,000 words yet, except can recognize their mother's name right off the bat. Scriptures tell us a lot of things about the voice. Interesting enough, you can ignore the voice as well. And if we go to the Genesis chapter 27, verses 22 and 23. So Jacob went near to Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are of Esau." So, and he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother's Esau hands, so he blessed him. So sometimes you can ignore what your ears are telling you as well. In early church, of course, we don't have this today because we're not in the New Testament era of miracles. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 27 through 33. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two of the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. So we see there the speaking in tongues that was used in the early times to as a miracle to so that the new Christians could understand that these words are actually from God. Go to the next slide, please. Next thing that we need to talk about is gastrointestinal system, consisting of all the way to the top, all the way to the bottom. Miracles throughout, and that we need something to be able to sustain living and to be able to allow us to live. The average person swallows about 2,000 times in 24 hours. That's a lot of swallowing. Yeah. So, we eat, on average, some more, some less, about 3.5 pounds of food per day, which is chewed by 32 teeth, which have as a component the hardest substance in the human body, and that's dentin, which is inside your tooth, enamel being on the outside. Interesting enough, in scriptures, they actually view the bowels as a center of affection, interestingly enough. We've all been young, we've all been lovesick, so to speak, at some point in our life, and you always get that funny feeling in your stomach. That's the only way I can figure out that they ever came up with that. But if we go to Matthew 14, verse 14, "And when Jesus went out, he saw a multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick." The literal translation in this was, he was moved in his bowels. Yeah, felt the affection for the crowd then. In the digestive system, digestion occurs in the stomach, interestingly enough. It's an organ that I deal with almost on a daily basis, and it is specifically made to hold acid. It will, if you get acid in your esophagus, you get heartburn, you get ulcers, and bad things happen in the esophagus when it gets acid in it, because it's not designed to hold that acid. The stomach is designed by God to hold that acid. If you take stomach acid out and put it on a kitchen table, it'll have varnish. Within seconds, it'll eat through the varnish, interestingly enough. Another thing, and aside, vultures. If you take their stomach acid out, and because of the things that they tend to eat, and put it on an iron nail, within minutes, that iron now will be dissolved. They have extremely high acid in their stomach. Small intestine, which is about 20 feet, absorbs all the nutrients and the vitamins and all the minerals that we all need to survive. And the large intestine absorbs primarily water to keep us from becoming dehydrated. So the gastrointestinal system is a huge system that is used to keep us alive and to give us energy in order to function. And it's a very miraculous system. It, from the beginning of the teeth, you know, to the expulsion of bowel movements, it's amazing in how God designed it for it to work in a process that allows us, each one of us, to live on a daily basis. Next slide. The heart. Heart beats about 100,000 times in one day. It beats about 1.5 gallons every minute. And it moves blood through 168 million miles of capillaries and arteries and veins throughout our body. Huge number, you know, red blood cell goes through in the course of a day. The heart is composed of cardiac muscle. It's different than our regular skeletal muscle. Regular skeletal muscle has what's called an origin and insertion, which means an anchor point on both ends, and when it contracts, it allows us to move our arms or our legs or whatever we need to move. Cardiac muscle doesn't have that. It's just basically a bag of muscle that has an intrinsic beat to it. If you've ever dissected a frog and took some of the tissue, cardiac tissue, it continues to beat. Same way with the human. You take a piece of heart tissue from the human and you put it in a petri dish, it will continue to beat. So it has an intrinsic ability to continue to beat even after it's separated from the main organ, so to speak. The heart, the word heart is used over 1,000 times in the Bible. A lot of times it comes up in that we hear of the human heart. Hebrews considered the emotional center, and it's also been considered aspects of psychological, spiritual, and even the physical center. There's been myriad number of scriptures that tell us about the aspects of the heart, and just a few of these. If we look at Psalms again. 112, verse 7. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. So he uses that in an effort of trust, you know, from one to another. John. John 16:22. Therefore, you know, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. So again, we use it, sees it as joy. There's myriad of other scriptures throughout that talks about, you know, how the heart is kind of almost the center of our being that is referenced in throughout the scriptures. Let's go, next slide. Lungs. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So that's how, you know, we came into being. If you look at the lungs, interesting enough, in an average day, we breathe about 23,800 breaths per day. That's the average. That's about 438 cubic feet of air in and out of our lungs every day. The lungs have cilia that are in a trachea and in a bronchial in order to keep debris and mucus from building up in our lungs. These are little hair cells, and they actually beat about 12 times a second. Pretty fast, interestingly enough. alveoli, which are the little air sacs that allow us to transfer oxygen into our bloodstream. There are about 750 million alveoli. And if you spread these flat, that would be about 600 square feet, or 25 times our skin air surface area. So a huge amount in order for us to be able to breathe. Acts chapter 17, 23 through 25. For as I was passing through and considering the object of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription: to the unknown God, therefore the one whom you worship without knowing him I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as he needed anything, since he gives to all life breath in all things. So the lungs are mentioned as well, and are an amazing organ in and of themselves as far as the things that God has made for us. These are the organs that, you know, are kind of miraculous, and it's amazing how our minds and our bodies are able to perceive and do things. Next slide. Look at this for a second. See if you can read it. Now, I'll kind of read it here to you, and it actually explains it as well. I couldn't believe that I could actually understand what I was reading. The phenomenal power of the human mind, according to research at Cambridge University, it doesn't matter in what order the letters in a word are. The only important thing is that the first and last letter be in the right place. The rest can be a total mess, and you can still read it without a problem. This is because the human mind does not read every letter by itself, but the word as a whole. Amazing, huh? You know, we just need the first and last letter. Amazing that we can get that information just reading, just that quick and that easy, and that our minds are able to comprehend that. All that being said, and all these amazing things that our vessels of their human bodies contribute to us, it's nothing, you know, compared to what God and the most miraculous miracle that I can think of, and that is basically what it said in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God's grace, it's amazing. It chokes me up every time I think of it, that he would love me enough to allow me to have the opportunity to live forever with him. And that's what all of us have. All we have to do is accept him as our Savior. And if anybody this morning needs to or would like to accept God as Jesus as his Savior, accept God, or if you have need to come forward for any problems that you may have at this time and need the prayers of the congregation, would you do so as we stand and sing?
Over all the earth, you reign on high. Every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you'd reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again, over every thought, over every word. May my life reflect the beauty of my Lord, 'cause you mean more to me than any earthly thing. So won't you reign in me again, Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? Lord, reign in me. Reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? So won't you reign in me again? So won't you reign in me again?
Amen. Thank you for such a great message. It's insane how intricate our bodies are, and it's a powerful reminder of God and his ability to create us and the thought that was given. And so thank you so much for your lesson this morning. A couple quick announcements before we have our closing prayer. Just a reminder, next Sunday, looking forward to our Unity service and also the Fall Fun Fest. Great alliteration that Carson kept saying over and over quickly. I can't do it. Just remind everyone, bring your kids, grandkids. It's going to be fun. Lots of crafts and games and lots of chili. Anybody who wants to sign up to either bring chili, let us know, and we'll have a great competition on that front. And also, if you're willing to judge, let us know about that too. So it should be a great day next Sunday, and we're really excited about it and looking forward to it. So let's close with prayer. Father God, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for your love for us. We're thankful for the concept that you created of community and for us to be able to come together and worship you. It's such a blessing. It's such an encouragement to each one of us to be able to spend time focusing on your power and your love for us and your will for us. We're thankful for the design of us, the way that you gave great care and took into account every detail and thought as you created our bodies. And we're just thankful that you did that and that you love us the way that you do. Father, we want to pray for our next Sunday. We just pray that we come together and have a fantastic service and just focus on you and how we can reach others in the community and bring others to Christ. Help bless the Fall Fun Fest. Help it be an encouragement to kids age 2 through 100 and whatever. We just hope that we have a great day fellowshipping next Sunday, and we just pray that you bless that. Father, there's so many of our members that are sick right now and have challenges and difficulties. Life is hard. And there's too many people to go and mention. I know I'll forget some folks, but we're thankful that Nick Johnson's home from the hospital. Continue to watch over them and bless them. Be with the Denims, John Schumann. There's just so many folks. Linda Bailey. Help us to reach out to our family, love on them, and support them throughout this week. And just pray that you continue to bless us. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.